Hello and welcome to the Cult of SMMI. I am your host, Scott Mort. Today we continue Antoinette's story. Just to pick up where we left off, Antoinette has just escaped the Order and is crossing the bridge into Staten Island. Once again, I do want to say that Antoinette's story, as with Mike's story, all falls under the umbrella of allegedly. These are their stories. I have no way to verify them. I have no way to dispute them. But I am just letting them tell them. If any members of the Order would like to come on, or anybody who's had dealings with the Order, the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate, would like to come on the show to verify or dispute any of these claims, they are welcome to do so. I can be contacted at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. And now, Antoinette continues.
I got stopped by the police, and the police ended up, I wouldn't tell them where I was coming from, but they found, you know, just by little bits that I told them, they found out who I was, because my father, my stepfather, was a politician, so they called him, and they came and got me. And I never did get to Staten Island, because I was thinking if I could get to Staten Island and I could get to my pen pal, you know, I could escape both the convent and my parents, but I never made it. So, because I tried to walk across this bridge. So, but that's how I left. And, I felt guilty about it for years and years. Cause of course my parents were not nice to me when I got home. And, you know, I always felt like I had let everybody down. And so years and years later, I started looking for Sister Teresa and Mother Elisabetta. I mean, I was married and had some children at that time, and I was like, you know, I just need to apologize for the way that I left, you know? And so I started looking them up, and that's how I found Mike, was I came across him on Fat Mass.
How instrumental do you think Mike has been in exposing what the SMMI was?
Probably a lot. I know that he has a lot of questions that probably can't be answered unless you were a part of it. I think that he realized the toxicity of maybe his sister, you know, has been able to expose, you know, cause now at 50, you know, I'm almost 51 years old. I'll be 51 in March. You know, I can look back and say, this was not normal. You know, first of all, they should have told that 16-year-old girl, you know, no, you know what I mean? Like, right. The convent is not a place to escape your parents. Like, this is not why we joined the convent. And then, you know, some of the other stuff, like, you know, we were told, you know, we didn't go grocery shopping because that's part of poverty, you know, because we had all these vows. We had four vows. Well, the three vows that most religious take is poverty, chastity, and obedience. And part of poverty was, you know, we lived on donations, you know. So that was that. So there were hard times, and there was, you know, we had more food than some of the other places in the Order. You know, when we traveled to visit other houses that didn't have schools attached to them where they could get free meals, you know, those sisters, you know, we at least got one meal a day during the weekdays, you know, unless you were a slut and locked in your room. So,
wow. Kind of opening my eyes to a lot.
Yeah.
One more thing about Mike. You've listened to the other five episodes of this.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you disagree with Mike about, or think that maybe Mike got a little bit wrong, or maybe his vision was a little bit clouded by being so close to this? Is there anything that Mike is saying that you feel is incorrect in any way?
I don't think so. I mean, like I said, I was a kid mm-hmm. when this happened with me. So it's not like I can even look at it with adult eyes, you know, because what I experienced as a child. And also, you know, I wasn't given privy to a lot. You know, I was kind of like, I was treated like a child too, you know, a bad child, but I was treated like a child. You know, I was not, you know, I was treated like a child with a promise of being this glorious, you know, saint, you know, and, that's kind of how they cajoled me into doing anything and everything, you know, and, you know, like I said, bad cop, good cop, I can see, his portrait of his sister, because Sister Teresa was the bad cop and Mother Elisabetta was the good cop always, you know. And, you know, Sister Teresa, she had this thing where, she would be very, very quiet and then all of a sudden just explode, you know, and, a lot of it too, the sister that was in, a lot of it before this incident with this student, a lot of it was directed towards the other sister in the house with me and not me. You know, the other sister, you know, we weren't allowed to bathe privately or use our bathroom privileges were not private. Okay. So this sister just sometimes didn't bathe because she, you know, and so she'd get yelled at about that, or, you know, she was a little absent-minded. Like, I don't know if there was something wrong with her or something like that, but she was a little absent-minded. And so she was always being yelled at. There was always yelling going on. There was always yelling and pounding and throwing and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, her, that kind of story, it matches with what I remember. And I also read the HuffPost, you know, when the HuffPost article came out, I wasn't ready to talk yet, because I was going through a divorce with my husband and all of that. And the sisters that participated in that, I read their stories too. And it seems to match up, you know. Sister Teresa's presence was a gift, you know. We were to see it as a gift. God spoke through Mother Elisabetta. She was not to be questioned. You know, that's what the fourth vow was all about. I know I texted you about that. The yes. fourth vow of being at God's disposal meant that we did not question Mother Elisabetta ever, because God spoke through her. She had a direct line to God. And if she said something, then it was the word of God. And so that was what the fourth line, fourth vow was about.
It's almost like, it looks like a vow to God, but it's actually kind of a snuck in control method.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause, you know, and that's what I was told the whole time. I was going to be the one that started this order in Asia, and I was going to have to learn to listen to Mother Elisabetta, because God talks to Mother Elisabetta, and then Mother Elisabetta was going to tell me what to do, and I was going to tell all these sisters in Asia what to do. I don't know. I don't think they ever got to Asia, because I don't know if they ever found another Asian sister. You know what I mean? But I do know, you know, I learned Italian while I was there, and so there was just a lot of, it was a lot. I remember one time when I thought it was so strange. I was having dental issues, and most times the sisters didn't get their medical things dealt with. You know, it was, you know, if you were suffering physically or whatever, you know, it was, you had to give it to God. But I was brought to the dentist, and the best I could guess is because I was a minor. You know what I mean? So if they neglected me, there probably would have been pushback. You know what I mean? If I appeared neglected, in any way. So I was brought to her father, who was a dentist, to have some dental work done. And before we went there, I was told, number one, that I was not to answer any of her father's questions. She was going to speak for me. You know, I was to stay silent. And if we saw her brother, who I don't know, wasn't much older than me. If he is older than me, I don't know. But we were not to make any eye contact. So so I was just like, oh my God. So I was scared. I was just like, okay. You know what I mean? So I just went in there and let the man work on my teeth and just let her answer all the questions for me. So, you know, but that's kind of how it was. If we dealt with anybody outside of the convent, she spoke for us. We weren't allowed to speak, you know. You know, I think I may have blocked a whole lot out. I do know I was having a pretty severe argument with Sister Teresa at one point, and I ended up at the bottom of the stairs. And I don't know how I got there. I don't remember her pushing me, hitting me, or whatever. But I do remember being told to just get upstairs and get to my room, you know. And that was about the time, it was the same day that we were arguing over whether or not this boy having a crush on me meant that I was being a slut, you know. And I was like, I didn't do anything, you know. I was teaching the kid about the rosary, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was interesting, some of the things that happened. But, yeah, she was the only other time I remember her putting her hands on me is she had an issue with people watching her when she brushed her teeth. Okay. And so she was brushing her teeth one day, and she called me into her room because, you know, and so I went into her room and she gave me instructions about something. I don't know what we were doing that day, but it was instructions. And she started brushing her teeth just like all of a sudden. She decided to just get up from her chair and start brushing her teeth. And I was standing there because I didn't know whether the conversation was over or not. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you walked away from her and she was still talking, that was like hell on wheels. So, like, I was standing there looking at her and she was like, don't look at me when I'm brushing my teeth. And she, like, pushed me, you know, out of her door, you know, and I remember falling, you know, on my butt, you know, outside her door, and she slammed the door, and I'm almost like, okay, I guess, you know, conversation over, you know. But that's just kind of how things went, you know. Okay. And also another thing, a spiritual advisor. We were given a spiritual advisor, right? But I was never allowed, like, spiritual advisors in the Catholic Church, when you're a religious, okay, it's a priest, you know, and you talk to them about your spiritual development and what God's calling to you to do. And is God really calling you to be a religious? You know, is there something, you know, to adjust your studies? You know, are you understanding God's call correctly? I was never allowed to, I wasn't able to see my spiritual advisor alone. Sister Teresa or the other sister had to be in the room with me at all times. I wasn't allowed to speak with him alone. And even my confession, I was behind a screen, but there was somebody else there with me because, you know, I couldn't be trusted to be with a man alone, even a priest. So I, you know, confession is supposed to be between you and God and the priest. But I always had somebody else in there with me because, you know, I couldn't be trusted around men.
Astounding. Yeah. Absolutely astounding. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I didn't have it as bad as most of the other sisters, and I was only in there, you know, almost 2 years. But it was, you know, I think that my story mostly highlights how young they were willing to go, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was a child.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just, you know, I think most of, as far as the damage to me personally goes, I think a lot of it came afterwards, you know, because when I was in there, I was kind of, I call it robot mode, you know. I've had therapy, you know, because like I said, I have a childhood past too, you know, and then this, of course, on top of it. But, you know, I've been in therapy for a while. My therapist called it disassociation. And I think I was in a disassociative state for most times in the convent. I remember thinking of myself as being very manipulative, because sometimes when I was punished, you know, I was put in the chapel and I was told to kneel. And one time I was in the chapel for over 24 hours, you know, before dinner one night to after everybody had gone to bed the next night, you know. And we had two positions in the chapel we were allowed. We were allowed to kneel on the floor, not on the kneelers, but on the floor, or we were allowed to be prostrate, which meant, you know, on the floor with your face pressed into the floor. And I know I spent a lot of that night prostrate, but I wasn't really praying. I was kind of sleeping. So I thought of myself as, you know, manipulative, you know, because I was like, oh, my God, I'm really manipulating this. And, you know, I have this great calling because God has told, you know, so like it played with my head a lot. And so when I left, the way that I left, I spent years, I spent like 20-something years thinking that I was this horrible, bad person that was going to go to hell because I walked away from a calling that, you know. And so that was a bigger trauma than any of the physical punishments or things that I endured in there, was that thought, you know. And when I finally got in touch with Mike on FatMass, and he sent me the letters, you know, about Mother Elisabetta and what happened with the altar, and kind of, you know, what the, you know, when she got investigated, what the Vatican found and all of that, things started clicking into place. Cause you know, at this point I'm in my 40s and I'm an adult, right? So I'm like, okay, well, this is making sense. So I wasn't bad, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to hell, you know what I mean? But I'm, you know, had I stayed, I probably would have been more abused more as time went on. You know what I mean? Cause you know, brainwashing takes a while, you know? So I was only there, you know, a little under 2 years, you know? So I, didn't get as much as some of the sisters that were in for like 19 years, 15 years, whatever. You know, because they had more time to be brainwashed. And, you know, but I'm pretty sure that would have happened if I'd stayed in there. Not only would I have been abused more and more, I think that I would have been trained to abuse other girls more and more. And that thought terrifies me, because I wanted to be wanted and I wanted to have meaning to my life so badly that I was willing to do anything. And I thought God spoke through this woman. You know what I mean? I remember one time, you know, she came to America. It was after I had had a tantrum with Sister Teresa, and she came, and she literally sat on my bed and rocked me like a baby. Like I was literally sitting in her lap and she was rocking me like a baby, just like cooing at me like I was two, you know. And I remember, you know, it was just what I needed, because I had never gotten that from my mom. My mom never hugged me, kissed me, or anything like that. But of course she knew that because I had told her this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like they gave me everything that I wanted in order to stop me from seeing what was actually going on. And I could feel at this point, now that I'm removed from it and I've heard the whole story and everything, and even as I was listening to the podcast, the first five that you had given with Mike, I like my blood ran cold. Like I literally got goosebumps and stuff, because I was like, they were training me to be just like them. You know what I mean? By giving me everything that I didn't have as a child, you know, and you would think that makes them better, but that's not what they were doing. They were at the same time training me, you know, because Sister Teresa, when she got done yelling at that other sister that was in there with me, she would always come to me and tell me what this other sister had done wrong. And just like, you remember this, because you're going to have girls do this and you're going to have to do just what I did. You know what I mean? So they were training me. So I think just getting out when I did, you know, like I'm sitting here shaking, just thinking about what I could have done to other girls' lives, you know?
One final question. If you don't want to answer this, this is totally fine. If 50-year-old you as you are now, could go back and speak to Sister Teresa and Mother Elisabetta, what would you say to them from the position that you're at right now?
About me about me, a couple of things. About me, I would say, hey, that's a child, you know, and you don't need to be messing with that development. You know, the development was messed anyway, you know what I mean? But leave her alone is basically what I would say, you know. About the order as a whole, you know, this isn't God's work. You know, this isn't God's work. This isn't, you know, we don't bring people in and beat them into obedience, and we don't throw things at them, and we don't push them, and we don't, you know, give them physical punishments, you know. You know, we don't take medical conditions and say, you know, well, you're suffering, you know, because God wants you to suffer, type of thing. You know, we don't do that. That's not God. That's not God. And if somebody spoke to Mother Elizabeth, it wasn't God. It was, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to try to mentally diagnose her, but, you know, what she was hearing wasn't God, you know, because I don't think God would treat people this way, you know. And I, like I said, my blood runs cold because I was, you know, I didn't endure some of the things that the other sisters did, but I can feel how I was being brainwashed because I was very too easily manipulated, you know.
Antoinette, thank you for being here with us. It's very appreciated. It's
no problem.
I'm honored. I am honored. Antoinette wanted me to add the following on to this episode. Antoinette said, I forgot to add, my grandmother gave the SMMI order about $150,000. It was my inheritance from my grandfather, and apparently it was transferred to the order when they took custody of me. I was told it was my dowry. Antoinette continues, I just remembered another thing, our mail. Any mail coming into us, any letters were read by Sister Teresa before they were given to us. And if she did not like the contents, she would not give us the letter or mail. Also, anything going out was read too. She also held our IDs and social security cards. I had to get new ones after I left. We were allowed no money at all, and our paychecks went to the order. I don't know if that was standard. Of course, it was all part of the vow of poverty. Once again, if you would like to contact us, you can do so at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Take care of yourselves and each other.